Good morning. Sure, it's good to see all y'all here. I learned how to speak American after I learned to say, huh? But it sure is good to see you this morning. It's especially good to see so many of our college students back, and it's always encouraged to see them and to hear the excitement that they have of all of the great things they're learning at school. And, you know, they're just really disappointed to come home and be with mom and dad and all of that stuff. But it's good to see them here. There's a lot of them that are traveling. Please continue to pray for them as they travel on home, that they would be safe over this Thanksgiving break. Wonderful time, Thanksgiving. I love it. One of my best holidays or vacation times or whatever you want to call it. I'm looking for Stan Pope, and I don't see him here. There he is back there. I want you to know something about Stan Pope. He is celebrating his fifth year of sobriety, and I just praise God for that, and Stan does as well, and he's not ashamed of that. In fact, he is as proud as his mom and dad is, and a whole bunch of other people. So if you see Stan and have an opportunity to speak to him, just slap him on his back and say, attaboy. We're really encouraged by his desire to do what's right and to serve God, and God has opened so many doors for him, and it's just an exciting thing to see. December the 13th and the 14th, don't ask me what's happening on those days because I'll get it wrong, but be sure to mark your calendar on those two dates. I believe there's things happening, and you know, I have been wrong once or twice before, and if you get our email newsletters, you know that. So, but the 13th and the 14th of December are good days to mark your calendar that there's going to be some exciting things happening. Not sure what they are, but be sure to read the newsletter and follow along with that. Today is Thanksgiving week, I guess. And I thought about whether or not we need to honor Thanksgiving this Sunday or next Sunday, but in reality, we honor it every Sunday, don't we? Because as children of God, we're always thankful for that which God has done in our lives that He continues to do in our lives. But this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving Day. And let me just share with you, Happy Thanksgiving. You know, we as a people of God and a people who are blessed to live in this country, we have much to be thankful for. And when we have opportunities to sit down and think about it, there are a lot of things to be thankful for. I know Alan has done a good job in talking about this. A little piece of paper that says, I am thankful for, and sign it. If you haven't got one, then get another one, if you have got one, and fill it in, because we really want to encourage you to join us on Wednesday for an evening of praise and thanksgiving. And even if you can't be here, if you would record the things that you're thankful for, we would love to share those with one another. So be sure to get one of these little pieces of paper. If you haven't got one or two or three and you want to fill them in, there's plenty on the table in the foyer in the back there. And I would encourage you, you remember Alan, that happy little fellow that stood up here in the beginning? Give him one of these, or those that are filled in, or myself, or leave them on the table in the foyer in the back there, and we really, really would appreciate that. I think it's not even arguable that Thanksgiving is the best vacation holiday time on the calendar in the USA. It's the only one that is non-commercial so far. And I'm thankful for that, that there's not a whole lot of commercial hype about Thanksgiving, but it's a time when everyone and anyone can take an opportunity to sit down and reflect on the good things that God has given us. And that's never a bad thing to do, as we'll see, and I found some quotes from some pretty significant people that I want to share with you about Thanksgiving and a grateful and a thankful heart. But Thanksgiving is a time when we can reflect on who we are. And in our history, there are incredibly significant people who have made proclamations. In fact, the president, the first president of our country, George Washington, made a proclamation about Thanksgiving. Why don't you just listen to what he had to say?
Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best.
How about that for an incredible spiritual message from our first president? All that it would have continued to this day. If you'd like a copy of that, there's some on the table in the foyer, but I'm sure you can Google it and find it just as easy as I did. But what an incredible testimony to the foundation of who we are as a nation. And I look at that and I think about that and I pray about that, and I realize that in the world that we live in today, gratitude is not a virtue that is easily attained. Certainly not in our society today. I remember reading a story one time about a little boy who was given an orange by an older gentleman. And he was all excited about that, and he came to his mother and said, Mom, you know, look what I got. I got this orange from this man over here. And his mother responded to him and said, well, that's very nice. What did you say to the man? And he said, nothing. So she said, well, go say something to him. So he went back to this old gentleman, and he gave him the orange, and he said, peel it. Kind of not where we want to be, is it? But it's kind of a commentary on where we are. That's really not the mind that we should be. But God wants us as His people to be a thankful people. The Bible speaks to us about that in the book of Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5 and verse 16. Scripture tells us, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Notice this, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I look at that passage of Scripture and I'm mindful of so many things that it brings into my life and hopefully brings into your life. You see, God's serious about this. As children of God, we ought not to be those people that are walking around grumbling and complaining about this, that, and everything else. But rather that God's will for us, as much as it is for us to be pure, is for us to be rejoicing, to be praying continually, to be thankful for things that happen. That's who God desires for us to be. And so it's critically important that we understand that. Over this whole year, we've been talking about relationships and boundaries and accountability and different circumstances in our communication within our relationships. And as we've been talking about that, within the context of this passage of Scripture and the environment that we're in today in terms of Thanksgiving, the context is a love relationship. And it's within that loving relationship that it calls us to acknowledge that which God has called us to be. And that's to be a people of love, a people of prayer, a people who are constantly thankful, a people who are joyful. And so if we were to have a thingamajig that hangs around our neck that tells us who we are. You know, people today print stuff on their t-shirts, but if we had to hang something around our neck that describes who we are, would it be the word joy? Would it be thankful? You know, do people recognize us by the smile that we have, even if Tennessee gets beaten by Missouri? I had to put that in for those of you who reminded me of that this morning. You know, but we're thankful. Who cares about football anyway? It's really not that important. You know, what's important is our relationship with God and the fact that we display a thankful heart that speaks to people as they come in contact with us. Every time there's something is read about something that relates to God's will, God somehow makes a way for those things to happen. He doesn't tell us this is my will for you to do and not give us the abilities or the means by which we can accomplish that. And so when God commands us, I guess is the appropriate term, to be joyful always and to give thanks always in all circumstances, then I believe that He gives us the ability to do that. Otherwise, He wouldn't have asked us to do that. And whether or not we believe Him, the answer to that is seen in how we react, in how we live our lives, in our attitude, and in the words that we express our attitude to others. But it's not always easy to be thankful in all circumstances, is it? I know that, and you know that. And so, what if those circumstances are painful? What if they're difficult? And we've all been a part of life, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So we know there's difficulties and painful things out there. How do you give thanks in circumstances like that? Regardless to what the circumstances are, it has to do with our mindset. It has to do with what we call our paradigm of life, our world vision. How do we see God within us? Is God real? Has He in reality given us these skills or this mindset to look at things like He has called us to look at them? I remember several years back when I was involved with the war in Africa, and I may have told some of the story, so I'll give you a really condensed version, but it was maybe a couple of weeks before Christmas, and I was out right out in the boonies somewhere, and it was cold and wet and raining, and it was around about midnight, and there was all sorts of stuff happening, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, how pitiful it is, sitting in this hole that stinks of human beings being here for a week or so, and I was wet and hungry and cold, and I was thinking, I don't need to be here. And then I realized that there were other people who were in a similar situation to me, except, you know, they had parts of their body missing. And I realized, no matter how bad the situation you're in, there's always somebody who's worse off than you are. Maybe that's not a good thing to think about, but it certainly made me realize that I can be thankful for where I am. And ever since then, I've never, ever forgotten that circumstance. And so we thank God that I'm not in that situation that other people are in. Because I'm really not that bad off. I'm really not in that bad situation. I know we have people in this congregation who love to play golf. Some of you hate it as much as others love it. But I remember hearing a conversation one time that kind of made me chuckle and still makes me chuckle. And I had the opportunity to play with a group of old people. This was before I was older or whatever. And they were talking about and they were grumbling about things as we were walking up the fairway. And they were saying, wow, you know, doesn't it stink that these fairways get longer and longer? And another one said, yeah, you know, these hills seem to get steeper and steeper as we grow, as we go up them. And a little later on, I heard yet another one say, these sand traps just get bigger and bigger and I can never get out of them. And then I heard a fourth one say something like, well, why don't we just thank God that we're on this side of the grass? Some of you get it. See, there's always something for which we can be thankful. Always something for which we can be thankful. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, there's things that we can stop and just think about that allow us to be thankful for what we have. Sometimes all that is required is a different perspective on the situation. I found some things that I think are good for us to reflect on. As somebody wrote, that he was thankful for these things. He says, I'm thankful for the taxes that I pay because it means I have a job. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug. Nobody understands that, do you? Because it means I have enough to eat. I'm thankful for windows that need cleaning and gutters that need fixing. It means I have a home to live in. I'm thankful for the person behind me in church who sings off key. Nobody does that, do they? Because it means I can hear. I'm thankful for piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off early in the morning because it means I'm alive. See, oftentimes I think we forget and we become ungrateful because we're focusing on that which we don't have instead of focusing on that which we do have. Certainly there's things out there that I would love to have. And certainly I recognize there's a whole lot of things out there that I really don't have, but really doesn't mean a whole lot. But if we would stop focusing on that which we don't have and focus on that which we do have, I believe we can find a lot to be grateful for, don't you? There's that old song that we sing, and I'm not going to try and sing it because I'll butcher it. The title is Count Your Blessings. And we count them one by one, and when we count them, the benefit is ours as we reflect on that. The first verse of that song goes something like this. When upon life billows, you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Isn't that true? There's a few blessings that I found that I think are appropriate for us to share one with another. If you woke up this morning being more healthy than ill, you're better off than the 6 million people who will not survive the week. If you never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture or the pangs of starvation, then you are ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a church service without fear of persecution, arrest, torture, or even death, then you are more blessed than 3 billion people in this world. If you have food in the refrigerator, if you have clothes on your back, a roof over your head, a place to sleep, then you are richer than 75% of the people of the world. If you have money in the bank, if you have money in your wallet, if you have spare change that you drop in a dish or a bowl somewhere in your house or in the cigarette holder or whatever in your car, then you're among the 8% of the world's wealthiest people. Somehow or other, when we put things into perspective, there's always something for which we can be thankful. Beloved, we're a blessed people. We're blessed more than we realize. Partly because of the country that we live in. But more especially because it was God who directed us to start with. And it's God who continues to direct your life even today. Sometimes the difficult situations that we find ourselves in create for us an opportunity to appreciate the blessings of God. How many of you have read Corrie Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place? Several of you. It's an old classic. Set back in the 40s and 50s, her and her sister, along with a whole host of other people, were in the Dutch concentration camps under the Nazi rule. And her and her sister began to have a Bible study and try to pray together in the barrack, in the concentration camp they were at. And one of the evenings her sister said to her, well, you know, when they said we need to pray for things, what do we need to pray for? And her sister said, why don't we pray that God would remove the fleas from this barrack? And at the time it just went on by. And later on, Corrie wrote in her book that as they began to continue having their Bible studies and prayer times in the evening, and more of the women in this concentration camp heard about them and started to gather around them and pray with them and study with them. And they became concerned because of all of the hustle and the bustle and all of these women gathering together, they would attract attention of the Nazi guards. And one evening one of the girls said, no, we don't have to worry about the Nazis because they know these barracks are infested with fleas and they won't bother us here. And so suddenly the whole concept of praying for the fleas became a call, not only for them, but even for us today, to thank God for some of the difficult situations that we find ourselves in, because there is always value in that which God allows us to be in. And so with that perspective, and with God's help, I believe it's really possible for us to be thankful in all circumstances. Don't you? I think it's an easy thing to do when we look at it from God's perspective, rather than just focusing on our own selfish desires. And what a difference a thankful spirit makes to a person's life. Someone has said, and I think it was John Henry, who said, gratitude is a vaccine. It's an antitoxin and an antiseptic. And as I looked at that and tried to find some stuff out, because Ida will tell you my medical knowledge is dangerous, but as I looked at that, I found that the psychologists tell us that sincere gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions. And a professor by the name of Hans Seele, who is considered to be the father of all of the stress studies that have been done in recent times, he said, gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. And I like that. Didn't look any further to see if it was true or not. I like that. And so the question before us this morning then is, as we stand on the eve of Thanksgiving, what can we be thankful for? First and foremost, I think we can be thankful to God and for all that He has done for us. And one of the great things that I see in our lives is this whole psalm that Ellen read for us at the beginning of our lesson this morning. Psalm 100. And the whole psalm is just a beautiful psalm, but verse 4 captures it all. It says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart, and into His courts with praise." Our whole life is filled up with praise, especially when we enter into the presence of God. And as children of God, when are we in His presence? Are we only in His presence when we walk through the doors of this church building or any other church building? Or are we in His presence 24/7? Scripture tells us that if we're children of God, that He indwells us. That He has given us the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That He empowers us to be the people that He has created us to be. A promise that is for all who embrace Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so as we look at the psalm, it speaks to us and it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all of the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Oh, you beloved, you've heard me say this before. I long for the day when I will arrive at the church building at 8 o'clock in the morning for Bible study that begins at 9:30, only to be met by a whole host of people who have camped out and are tailgating waiting for church to start. We do that for stupid games like football, basketball, hockey, baseball. Things that really don't count. Oh, that we would tailgate for God. Wouldn't that be a joy? Think about it. It is God who has made us. And we are His and we're His people. We're the sheep in His pasture. And we enter into His presence. We enter into His presence with thanksgiving, with praise. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. And His faithfulness continues through all generations. Ah, beloved, never, never let us forget who God is and what God has done. I know that God has been so good to me. He's been so patient with me because there's times when I'm impetuous. He's been very benevolent to me because there's times when I've made bad decisions about my finances. He's been faithful to me. And He's given me a beautiful wife and a wonderful family. Love me unconditionally. And I just can't thank Him enough. And it's at times like this when it rolls around every year that it makes me somewhat melodramatic, and I don't apologize for that, because it's difficult not to be emotional when you think of that which God has done for us. So Thursday rolls around. And you sit around the table and you feel the warmth of your family and your friends and those who you love and those who you hope to love. And you feast on the meal that God has provided. Take time to think and be thankful. Be grateful. Let the joy of God shine through your whole countenance. Don't be ashamed of who Jesus is and what He's done for you. Share Him with gladness. Seek the opportunities to speak about the good things that God has done in your life. And He will bless you beyond what you can imagine. Thanksgiving. Wonderful opportunity for us to share the love that God has for us through His Son Jesus. John selected a song that we're going to sing as a song of encouragement this morning. And as we contemplate that and as we meditate on the things that God has done in our lives, if our heart has not been right with Him, the things in our lives that we need to do to put us into a place where we can honor God, the things that we have neglected to be thankful for because of His graciousness toward us. And maybe today is an opportune time for us to change that, to put things right. And if we as a congregation can help you, if we can pray with you and for you, if there's things that we can do to help you put your life right before God, then maybe now is an opportune time, if you have that desire to respond in a public way, that we can help you and we can pray with you. Before this week is done, I urge you, I challenge you, please do not let your relationship with God go unaffected by what happens this week. If you need to come in a public way, won't you do it as together we stand and as we sing.